97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cars. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, episode 5 of season 8 here. Trenton Interiors on Trenton, North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston, 111. Phone number 318-255-7698 for all your interior decorating needs. Britt Schott is expanding his empire.
Yeah, and if you have a chance, go by there and check out their showroom. It's really cool.
They've redone the historic Rogers Furniture Building, gutted it. I hear it's fantastic. I need to go by and see it myself. Louisiana Tech coming off another heartbreaker.
Yeah, I mean,
triple overtime loss to K-State on a couple of phantom no calls from Big 12 officiating, which, when you're a Louisiana Tech or a Group of Five school and you go into a Power Five's house, you know you're not going to get any calls. And man, was that the case Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because Tech had so many opportunities to win and just, you know, had a couple of bad plays there at the end of the fourth quarter and had to have that amazing drive in the last minute to tie it up and go into overtime. And then there's so many times during overtime you think, okay, Tech's got them. And then, oh no, Kansas State's got them, you know. And then Tech would find a way to get back in and force another overtime. And it was so back and forth. And to lose like that was tough. But you know what? Coach Holt said they put their heart and soul into it. They gave it their best and came up short. He said he can live with the results. And, you know, I think the fans can too. And, you know, they're favored in most of the games of the rest of the year. I think the Bulldogs are going to win a ton of games this year. And I don't see if they're going to play a team that good again, maybe Mississippi State, but especially in conference. Tech's going to be favored in every game.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's hear from you on the Fairway Cards of Minden hotline or text line, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762, the Fairway Cards of Minden hotline or text line. Your thoughts on that heartbreaking loss at K-State by 6 in triple overtime. Jason, just recapping the game, offensively, Louisiana Tech's pretty stinking good offensively. They struggled running the ball in the first half. They started getting things going in the second half. They abandoned it a little bit, which surprised me because the running game really did start going pretty well. That's probably my only critique from the whole game, is run Kenneth Dixon a little bit more.
Yeah, and they were keying on Dixon, and that's why Driscoll ran the ball 19 times because they were keying on Dixon so much. And, you know, he only averaged 2.2 yards a carry, but a lot of times, you know, he would fake the handoff to Dixon and do the read option type deal and get 3 or 4 yards on a play. He got some negative yards because he got sacked. That's why the total was only 19 carries for 42 yards. But he was getting some positive yardage on a lot of those carries. And they were just trying to take Dixon away. Now, finally, in the third quarter, Dixon just knocked a couple of guys out of his way and ran for several yards. I forgot what his long rush was. Let's see. It was 36 yards. Yeah, out of those 81. That was on one run. He just had enough of it. But he also had 5 catches, I think, for 25 yards. So, yeah, for 5 yards at average play, 4.8 yards a carry rushing. So, I mean, he went over 100 yards of total offense, and that's pretty good considering they're one of the best defenses in the country, and they were keying on him like they were. But at the beginning of the year, and I'll ask all of you guys this, Jeff Driscoll coming in had a kind of reputation as a running quarterback. Did you think that Louisiana Tech would be 11th in the nation in passing offense after 3 games?
Probably not, honestly. But you saw the ability from Driscoll. I've talked about this numerous times. I watched the bowl game for Florida when he was in, and I've never seen a group of receivers much less at a Power 5 school that couldn't catch the football like those Florida receivers couldn't. But it is surprising, knowing Tech's tendencies, especially with Kenneth Dixon and Driscoll's ability to run the football, that they're 11th in pass offense. But it sure is encouraging.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. I mean, they're really mixing it up, especially with no Paul Turner out there. So a lot of that was Trent Taylor, mixing in some Carlos Henderson. And it's good to see Cam McKnight kind of stepping in now for the second game of the year, or second time this year, getting some playing time. I think he was out there for 80 plays or something, or something crazy like that. So for a redshirt freshman, he sure got a lot of playing time.
Let's go to the text line from Jason, a Holtz fan, but his decision to take the penalty, this was going to be brought up, and we were going to talk about it. Take the penalty in the third overtime was as dumb as going for two late versus Tulane 2 years ago, turning a one possession game with an extra point to a two possession game late. You have a chance to hold them to a field goal, and you get the ball where a touchdown wins the game at worst, field goal to continue the game. No brainer. Our defense hasn't been playing that great. Gave up 41 and 39 the last two games. I talked about this in the previous show. I understand both sides of it. Football coaches are in the. They're in the business of making lots of decisions throughout a game, and a lot of them are based off of odds. And when you can force a team to have a longer distance to go to get a first down, most of the time a coach is going to do it, no matter the situation of the game. And now if it was – he even talked about it yesterday. If it was a 5 or a 10-yarder, he's not taking it. But because it was a personal foul, he took it. It was going to be 4th-and-1. It turned into 3rd-and-16, right? Yeah, 3rd-and-16.
Yeah, and I mean, I was sitting there at the time thinking, you know, take the penalty, let them kick the 3. I mean, that's probably the best way to go. But then at the same time, I respect his decision because Tech's not good in the red zone, haven't been putting points on the board at a high rate. The team was pretty tired, and his explanation was really good. I mean, you force them to kick a 50-plus yard field goal, they might miss it. And if they do, then everybody's talking about what a genius he is, because all Tech has to do is just kind of dive to the middle of the field and let Jonathan Barnes kick a 45-yard game winner.
And then there's talk about in the next play, on 3rd-and-16, they go for the end zone. So what's to say that on 4th-and-1 they don't go for it again?
Yeah, I think 4th down is just so risky to not come away with points. I think they would have gone for the field goal.
Even on 3rd-and-16 when they're at the edge of not being in field goal range, and they go for a deep pass. Now it worked, so yeah. There's that.
Yeah, it was a crazy play. I really didn't think they. I mean, obviously it surprised everybody. Nobody thought they were going to pass it, but it almost didn't work. I mean, it went right through two Tech defenders' hands, it seemed like.
And then the last part about the defense. You know, you look at Tech; they gave up 39 points against K-State, but that was in 7 quarters.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, last week I predicted 27-24 Kansas State, and it was 23-23. So that's really low scoring. And then you think about that. It was
especially 20. When the I'm going to get on my soapbox again. Especially when the NCAA puts you on the 25.
Yeah, it was 20-13 with 7 minutes to go. Punt team lets them get that punt return back inside the 20. They score, and then Tech has the fumble. Trent Taylor has the fumble, and they score again. Tech spotted on 10 points there at the very end of the game. The defense held them for 3.5 quarters to 13 points. I mean, Blake Baker did an awesome job putting that defense together, and they really were getting after them.
And Western Kentucky's offense is just kind of good. They're going to score points against everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
So, I mean, I understand the point that the defense hasn't looked great, but you have to look at the big picture. Yeah, they gave up 39 points to K-State, but it's also in the longest game in Louisiana Tech history.
Yeah, it was, and I still contend with Buddy Davis on Twitter, time-wise, that game a couple years ago where we had the referees
the Hawaii
delay.
Game.
The Hawaii game is like 4-hour delay, it seemed like, so that had to be the longest game start to finish.
And we're talking about two games with some of the worst officiating in the history of college football.
Yeah, we thought we were out of the bad officiating, getting out of the whack, but we forgot we had to be a road team in the Big 12 once in a while.
It was atrocious. I mean, the no call on Trent in the end zone, Vernon Butler getting held on basically every down. Tech wasn't going to get a call, but it's still a travesty when they don't.
Yeah. So Tech's on red zone offense is tied for 62nd in the nation, 85%. That's including field goals or touchdowns. So, I mean, it's not horrible, but it wasn't great. It's not like if you give Kansas State the 3 points. It's not 100% that Tech's going to score. Now, odds are, yeah, you can probably at least get a field goal and tie it, but it wasn't a given.
I'm being told that it was going to be 4th and 3, not 4th and 1 by several people. So,
whatever. It was 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 4th and 3. It was something like that.
It's over.
Yeah. It happened. They don't throw that pass, or Tech gets the sack on that play, and then Coach Holtz is a genius, and Tech probably wins the game. So it was just a fluke pass. They threw it up in the end zone, and it worked. I mean, 39 yards. Who would have thought?
Another text from Ben: Driscoll is the best quarterback Tech has had since McCown, who, funny enough, McCown could be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints Sunday.
And
as a Saints fan, that makes me cry, but not because Luke's starting, but because of our beloved Drew Brees.
Should have traded him 2 years ago.
Well, ain't no doubt about it. I've been saying it for years, but you get chastised when you say it in public.
Yep. But should have. You got to rebuild. You can't hang on too long.
What's the old saying, if a frog had wings?
I have no idea, but you hang on to your stars too long, and then you become the 1993 Boston Celtics. Washed up. So, yes, I was thinking that watching the game, that Driscoll reminds me of McCown. McCown had that long stride, and he would run for the first down, to the sideline like that all the time and beat the defense to the corner. And
he's sneaky athletic, yeah. McCown is.
Yeah, and Driscoll looks just like him out there. I mean, 6'4", 6'5", long, can throw the deep ball. He just looks like him in a Tech uniform. He really does.
So there you go. I hadn't thought about it. That was in my early days of following Louisiana Tech, so I'm not good to say anything about that. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll continue talking a little K-State, Louisiana Tech football, and that heartbreaker in the Little Apple as Tech fell by 6 points in triple overtime. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 255-7698 for all your interior decorating and design needs. Continuing on the talk about K-State, Bleed Tech Blue contributor Lane Davison sitting in today trying to learn the ropes. In case one of us has to miss, we got somebody to fill in. He brought up the point of the touchdown by K-State in the first overtime and how they reviewed the touchdown. It appeared as if he was bobbling the ball as he steps out of bounds, but once again, Tech wasn't going to get a call. It was called a touchdown on the field. For them to reverse that was going to take a minor miracle, maybe even a major miracle. I don't think anybody said enough Hail Marys that day for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like even the ball spots, Tech gets tackled.
You were there.
I was there on the sideline. It seemed like every time Tech gets tackled, say it's at the 40-yard line, the ball's at the 38.5. I mean, they were just pushing Tech back every chance they got. Every controversial play when Kansas State was on defense, no flag, no questions. Really letting them play however they wanted to play. And you're going to get that some anytime you go on the road, but my goodness, it was like just so over the top.
Something I found very interesting is the defensive strategy by K-State changed from the first half to the second half. They were letting Tech get the passes underneath, and they weren't crowding the line of scrimmage and blitzing. Second half, it's like Bill Snyder went in the halftime absolutely livid that Tech was moving the ball up and down the field, and he went to the defensive coordinator and said, figure something out to stop this football team. If it's blitzing every down, do it, and that's what they did. And it didn't matter. When you've got a quarterback like Jeff Driscoll who's talented with his feet, if you if you break contain and your defensive tackles are too wide, he's going to run right by you.
Yeah, and it's a great addition to the offense. Cody Sokol could really sling the ball around last year, but he wasn't going to run. And so
unless it was UTEP.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
And UTEP couldn't stop me on the zone read.
Yeah, so it does add a great dimension to the offense. And, Dixon's reputation is just so good that every defense, that's all they're thinking about. And so Driscoll's able to play off of that so much. Trent Taylor is that safety valve in the middle. They targeted him so many times. He caught like 12 balls against Kansas State, had a great game. And so it just opens everything up, whether it's Jeff Driscoll running when they try to take away Dixon or trying to hit on the deep pass. And I think when you get Turner back, that's really going to help. And Henderson, he had a good game, 6 catches, 81 yards, I think.
And he's still not 100%.
He's still not 100%. Like we talked about, that's the best defense they're going to play all year. Maybe Mississippi State's going to be close. Against Conference USA, Henderson's going to go off. There's not many teams that are going to be able to hang with him.
The FIU probably has the best defense in the conference, and Tech, of course, faces them Saturday. Inside Joia Stadium at 1:30, a good old afternoon kickoff.
And their defense, and we'll talk about that more in the next segment, their defense is more against the rush. Passing defense, not as much. So, I think if they try to key on Dixon again, I think Driscoll, Henderson, Taylor, they're going to have a huge game.
FIU coming up in the next segment, and in 6:45, David Neal from the Miami Herald joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Give us your thoughts on the Fairway Carts hotline or text line 888-993-7762, just like guest co-host from week number one, Rafe Sims, joins us on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. How are you doing? How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, Jonathan Ford. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, one thing that I brought away from that game, watching it televised, is that it seems like we've had good teams in the past, teams that were competitive against now Power 5 conference teams. But schematically, as far as our coaching prowess and the composure that we've shown, is different. And it used to seem like we relied upon some gimmicks and some popping some big plays and some trickery and things like that. But you didn't necessarily trust it because we knew that we were overmatched schematically at some level, at least in some area. And this year, the end of last year and this year, it seems like we're more composed and have a better orchestrated offensive defensive attack that kind of gives you a little sense of relief that we're not about to just give them the game, and not that we won't make a mistake, but as far as what we're going to try to do and not being too predictable on offense and defense, it seems like we're kind of a cut above. Last year I saw that at Lafayette, where you looked at a team with pretty much equal talent but vastly superior coaching, it seemed like, coming from our end. But now we have with Driscoll, of course, and Dixon on offense, and then the plethora of receivers. But also the defensive personnel seems more balanced, and it looks like that you can almost trust the coaches, more than – what do you think than years back?
Hey, I'll say this. How much do you think it plays into the fact that Tech's coaching staff has a lot of continuity, and they've been together for, 3 years now? This is the third season or fourth season? Third season. So I think that's probably more it than almost anything else.
Well, and also Jack McNeil, first-time head coach. Derek Dooley, first-time head coach.
Sonny Dykes.
Sonny, first-time head coach. Skip's been there. He's won.
That's a fair point as well.
He's experienced. He knows what is coming up. But, Rafe, we're thinking a lot alike because I've got an article coming out in the morning, and I had some of the same.
On underdogdynasty.com.
Yes. And I had a lot of the same thoughts. And I don't think it's a lot of it is coaching, and a lot of it is recruiting, because I agree with you, and I even made that point. In the past, under a Tony Franklin offense or a Gary Croton offense 100 years ago, Tech's getting in these games and beating these bigger schools, but a lot of times it's because they have a good quarterback and one or two good skill position players, and they're totally overmatched everywhere else. But they're slinging it around, they're scoring 100,000 points, and they're keeping the team in it late, and they have a great drive, and they win the game. And that's how Tech beat Cal and Alabama back in the 90s. That's how they beat, you know, Illinois, Virginia, Ole Miss, you know, a few years ago with the Tony Franklin offense. They're just outscoring you. And it was some kind of gimmick offense or whatever it was. And hey, it worked. Tech won a lot of big games. I'm not downing it. But now you're watching Tech line up against Illinois in the bowl game or against Kansas State this weekend, and they look about the same size as Kansas State. Kansas State had a couple of tall linemen, but as far as size-wise, they're not pushing Tech around. They're not pushing Vernon Butler around or Nick Thomason or Vontarious Dora. I mean, Tech passes the eye test. They can line up with these teams now and not get pushed around. And so some of that's recruiting, some of that's coaching, and some of it has to do with Kurt Hester in the strength program, but they look more like a top 40, top 50 program football team instead of one that just has a good quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like our coaches are running around gnawing their fingernails off, wondering what to do next. It looks like there's a level of confidence in the preparation.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of plays out. It seemed like Kansas State was far more reactionary, and you know how much they can pay their coaches and how solid they are, but they seemed a little bit more out of sorts than we did in the game. I thought, you know, we won the game. Apart from a few plays here and there, you know, that we outgained about 100 yards. It looked like we were the better, just nose-to-nose better team from the eye test. I think any, you know, third party would probably say the better team of the two did not win. The home field advantage was too much to overcome, and that's part of it. I understand that. But I don't know. I just feel a little bit more relieved on we're not about to, you know, screw the pooch right now and do something crazy, you know, that it's there's a little bit, you know, more substance when it comes to scheming. And even when you say we have better personnel across the board, that's also coaching, you know, because that's bringing them in. And then, like you said, the coaches that with Hester, you know, doing the strength and conditioning. That, to me, is the most positive thing to take from the game. It's not like now, you know, whereas used to we'd lose a game like this and, oh, there was our chance. The season's over. Too bad. If we could have perhaps won the game, maybe we could have, you know, broke into something and did some, you know, made a splash. But to me, it seems like, you know, the team took its stride and the coaching staff did, and you know, let's keep going. And I think we are going to keep going.
Well, Rafe, like always, appreciate you calling in, my friend.
All right, you too, man. Good hearing from you.
Rafe, on his weekly calls, it's the first of the year.
Yeah,
I'm sure it won't be the last.
Yeah, that's surprising. Of course, he was in studio for the first week. But, yeah, I mean, last year, I mean, to Ray's point, you go to Oklahoma and you lose 48-16. And you're like, wow, is this team just, you know, maybe they just aren't ready yet. And then they just go in and just on the road, Lafayette and North Texas beat them 48-20 and 42-21, just hammer them. And I feel like coming back home, Tech had a couple of tough losses here to some really good teams. And I just feel like FIU having to travel this far, I don't think they
you almost feel for them.
I don't think they've got the
almost
offense. Yeah, almost. I don't think they got the offense to put much points on the board, and I think Tech's going to run over them.
Let's go back to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Clyde, all the way from Memphis, I would imagine.
Hey guys, that's right. Can't wait to drive down this weekend and enjoy some good tailgating. Want to talk about the game? I agree with Coach on the call. I can understand why people would not agree with that, but if they make that short field goal and then we miss a long one, they're always on the other side of that conversation wanting to say, why did he not take the penalty? So just let's let our team get healthy, and it's going to be a fun team to watch.
And Clyde, and you played a little football at Louisiana Tech, so you know football a little bit, so you still stand by that was the right decision.
I think it was. I've said he needs to take that penalty. You can't, 15 yarders don't come too often. You got to take that and make him kick a 50-yard field goal.
I agree with you. Just like I said, and so does Jason. I'm not so sure that everybody in the studio does. John agrees. I'm not so sure that Lane agrees.
What now?
Do you agree with Holtz accepting the penalty?
I think you have to make that call. I mean, like
so yes, you do.
I agree. I mean, obviously, I don't like it because of the outcome, but in the same situation, I think I would have done the same thing.
Gotcha. So yeah, everybody's in agreement with you. I think there's probably more people that are supporting Coach than are actually not just they're not vocalizing it. So
yeah, there's a couple of guys on our tailgate crew that are really irate. I'm gonna bring them a jar of Boudreaux's butt taste Saturday if they're still not over it. So I think we got it taken care of. Let's get healthy and let's have fun this season.
Absolutely, Clyde. Go dog. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I mean, to Clyde's point too. Two home games coming up: FIU, Louisiana, Lafayette. Hey, let's get a couple of big home drubbins going on, pad the stats, and everybody be feeling good.
Let's take this break. We're also brought to you by your area, your 26 area local State Farm agents, and also Brister's Smokehouse. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Newly renovated. I'm not sure it's 100% open for business, but give them a call. 255. They're getting close. 255-7698 for all your interior design needs. Let's flip gears to FIU. The Golden Panthers. I just call them the Panthers for short. I'm not sure if that's appropriate, if we're allowed to say that.
Well, the NCAA's website calls them the FIU Panthers. So if NCAA is going to call them that, then you're all right.
So this team, their defense is the number one total defense in Conference USA. The weird game, they played three, obviously, just like everybody has. It hasn't had a bye yet. First one was against Central Florida,
they go on the road and win 15-14, and everybody's ready to say, "Hey, FIU is man, they're really good."
And who did Central Florida lose to Saturday?
Was it Wofford?
Furman.
I get them mixed up. Furman, Wofford, whatever. One of those South Carolina.
The one that's
FCS schools.
The strange one is they went to Indiana and gave them everything they wanted.
They lost 22-36, and Indiana
Indiana scored 17 in the fourth.
Yeah, Indiana just beat Western Kentucky. So, I mean, Indiana's not awful, awful like they have been in the past. And then FIU beats North Carolina Central 39-14.
So, of the MEAC.
Yeah, so those first two games were on the road, and they got the win at Central Florida. Okay, so Central Florida's a little bit down, or really down, but it's still a road win. And then they go to Indiana, and they were competitive. But offensively, they're 84th in rushing offense, 58th in total offense, so average offensively. Defense, total defense, 34th, pretty good, 20th against the run. So that's what they hang their hat on. And you can, just like every other team Tech plays, you can guarantee that they're going to stack the box and try to stop Kenneth Dixon first. And I really think Tech's going to have a field day with the passing game.
Do you think – Holtz said this yesterday, that he thought that they would look at the second half of Kansas State and just – carbon copy it and blitz a lot. That could happen. And if it happens, Tech's ready for it. They're not going to be as good at blitzing as K-State is.
Well, if Tech's prepared for that and working on it all week, they're going to have some plays to work off of that. You can guarantee you'll see a lot of quick throws and to Trent Taylor or even Cam McKnight over on the edge. And then you're going to see a lot of passes to Kenneth Dixon out in the flat. And you'll see a lot of Jeff Driscoll just running the ball. And so, yeah, I think you're right. Kansas State, way better on defense.
And K-State's defensive tackles are better than FIU's, but I imagine FIU's DNs, that's the strength of their D-line.
Yeah.
Their DNs are probably better than K-State's DNs.
And they've got the one really good defensive back too. I'm trying to remember his name. Richard. I'll look it up. They've got a really good defensive back at Florida International, but their pass defense, they're giving up team passing efficiency. No, that's not it. Passing yards allowed 69th, 218 yards. So, I mean, they're okay against the pass, but if they're going to sell out against Kenneth Dixon, I really think Tech's got the chance to really make them pay for it and spread it out, especially if Henderson's healthier and if Paul Turner comes back. Oh, yeah.
And Paul Turner has a hamstring injury. I hate it for him. Worked his tail off in the offseason to get right, and then he gets injured against Western Kentucky. I saw him go to the locker room against Western Kentucky, came back and played. They don't have to have him against FIU, but I'll be honest, if they have Paul Turner against K-State, Tech wins. Because Marlon Watts and Jeff Driskel never got on the same page.
Yeah, and who knows what would have happened, but it would have helped tremendously. So, yeah, Richard Leonard, I'm sorry, the senior cornerback for FIU, all-conference player. He's only like 5'8", 180, so he's not extremely tall. He's a Miami local guy for them.
And that's the thing about a Florida International, a Florida Atlantic, is the athleticism of Florida athletes. They're going to be athletic. That is a promise. Now, if they can translate, if that can translate into wins and losses, it hasn't yet for FIU or FAU. Year in and year out, both of them have very good recruiting classes.
Yeah, and they've got two senior defensive ends that are both 6'3", 250. Denzel Perrin, or Perrine, however you pronounce it, and Michael Wakefield. So very IK size players, you know, similar in size to
Vontarius Dora.
Yeah, maybe not quite as tall as him, but, you know, 250, 255 pounds. I'm sure they'll get after the quarterback a little bit. And they're kind of young at linebacker, a couple sophomores, but they do have the two senior corners and the two senior defensive ends. So they've, and then their defensive tackle, Darian Dyson, if you follow recruiting,
yeah, he's
in
from
Louisiana.
New Orleans.
He's from Edna Carr, so could play for Coach DeLute down there.
But you look at Louisiana Tech's offensive line, their weakness is interior. I mean, of course, David Mahaffey is your center right now and for the foreseeable future. And left guard is a true freshman, and your right guard is in his, fourth or fifth game starting? So it's – you don't have a lot of experience there. So the fact that they're DNs, where Tech's experience is with Jens Danielson and Darryl Brown, bodes well.
Yeah, and Tech's got a lot of depth there at tackle, too, with Shane Carpenter, Derek Edinburgh. And, you know, I think Josh Robinson's played well this year. I think Darryl Brown's played really well at times, too. And so you've got some experience on that Tech offensive line. Dyson goes 6'4", 295. Alberry, their other starter inside, is only 6'2", 277, so they're not very big.
I just worry about their DNs being able to stop the run. We'll talk to the Miami Herald beat writer in the next segment about FIU's defense and offense, and he'll give us a better idea of how good they are against the run. A lot of defensive ends are going to sell out for the pass every down. So, will these guys do that as well? If they do, that bodes well for Tech. I think Tech wins this one, obviously. The line from Vegas, we always talk about that, is 14 points. I think the over-under's sitting around 52. That's kind of surprising.
What's the early line, 14?
14. 14 and a half, 14. It's been to 15. I think it's down to 14 and a half.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising.
Massey agrees. Your boy Massey. I think you've got a T-shirt that you wear underneath every article of clothing every day that says MasseyRatings.com.
Hey, I learned it from you, so I never knew about it until you introduced me to that site, but it is a good site.
But, yeah, they have Tech winning by about around 14 and an 88% chance of victory.
So something like 32 to...
I don't have it pulled up.
32 to 18, 34 to 18, 34 to 20, 35 to 20, something like that. Yeah,
somewhere in there. But Tech's offense has proven the last 3 weeks that they're going to get their yards and they're going to get their points. The defense has come around. They're not perfect yet. I've still got some questions in the secondary, which is completely shocking since we all thought that was going to be the strength of the team. I'm not sure if it's scheme right now, if they're playing different roles. I don't know what's going on. Special teams have improved drastically, I think, since week one and week two. Of course, the punt return that nearly went for a touchdown and ended up being a touchdown for K-State last week was big time. The punt game was better against K-State. Obviously, Jonathan Barnes can kick field goals. He kicked one with time expiring from 47, which tied a career high, a career long, I should say. Kickoffs were pretty good. They had a talented return man that was averaging over 40 yards a return. He didn't do that against Tech. So I think the coaching staff needs some props for how much they've improved that group in a short period of time.
Oh yeah, I mean, and just the kicking and punting is so much better from last year. They've really done a good job, and yeah, the kick returns were obviously a problem in the first 2 weeks. They shored that up. You know, obviously the punt return hurt against Kansas State, but that's going to just keep getting better and better. And you mentioned Massey ratings. I mean, Tech's got like a 67% chance to win or more in every game they play this year, just about. Except for Mississippi State and Rice. Rice on the road, 54% right now, and Mississippi State's not much of a percent chance. But those are both on the road, and those are the two best teams you play. And you still got seven other games to play. So, I mean, at worst, if Tech takes care of business and doesn't drop one like they did last year to Old Dominion on the road or something like that in conference play, you know, I mean, you're looking at 8-4, but there's a really good chance that that game at Rice will be the difference in having like a 9-win season or playing in that Conference USA championship game again, and that's the goal.
Lane Davison getting a little shout out here, so slide the mic, spin it over so the man can speak a little.
It's got to be the brother.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Okay.
It says, "I want to hear from the kid, Lane Davison 11. That's his Twitter handle for those wondering. Talk from a student's perspective. How is this team viewed on campus? We saw them sell out game one. Is the hype still there after two straight tough losses? What can we expect from the Redout game?" There's a lot of questions there.
You know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, actually. The view on Tech's campus is the way it always is. You have your passionate group of fans, such as myself, and the kids who pack, you know, that 50-yard box to the student section. And then you have the self-loathers. And you'll always have the self-loathing students who walk around in the Florida gear, the LSU gear, the Arkansas gear, the Baylor gear, et cetera. And so I would say, as far as that, it's the way it always is, but that definitely the people who care and the people who are always going to care are really bought in this year. So as far as that goes, that's what I would say the feel is around
campus. So the student crowd should be very similar to what it was at Southern.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is good news. Yeah. I thought that the Southern game surprised me because school wasn't yet in session. When I was in school, it wouldn't have been like that. And the students had Southern fans sitting in their seats, and they didn't care. They filled in around them and made as much noise as they always do. So good stuff. Good stuff from the kid, Lane Davison, 11.
I'm always happy.
Thanks, Lane. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little FIU talk with David Neal from the Miami Herald. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, also brought to you by Pierce Service Company in Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give them a call, 255-7698, for all your interior design needs. They'll open soon. Their showroom has been 100% renovated. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline and our friend David Neal at the Miami Herald talking a little FIU Panthers. How's it going, David?
How you doing?
Did you take you a nap between the sports company and now?
No. I sat here, worked on my story, harassed my daughter to get in the shower, prepared the pork chops, got the barbecue sauce on them, got them in the oven, and
the priorities of life.
Yeah. And it's sundown, so any of my Jewish friends out there, y'all ought to start atoning right now.
Good stuff, David. You look at this game Saturday. Where do you see the biggest matchups that favor the Panthers?
That favor the Panthers? Boy.
Did I throw you a curveball there?
Yeah. It's tough because I'm not exactly sure how good they are at. And also, having seen the La Tech game, I only saw one. I saw Western Kentucky. I was remiss in not DVRing Kansas State game. And nobody's defense is going to look good against Western Kentucky because they're going to go out and they're going to throw the ball around. They're going to put up a whole bunch of points. So you'd like to say, I mean, even based on that, taking that into account, maybe the wide receivers against the secondary, which sounds very strange with FIU, which the last 2 years has not been a big play offense, but they've gotten some big plays this year. Got a fast sophomore named Dennis Turner, who is actually now playing fast, running good routes. And sophomore Thomas Owens, not one of these fast guys by the clock, but he's kind of football fast. And he's one of the guys, he's not that fast. He just seems to get behind you somehow. And so they've had some big plays in the passing game. That's not even figuring in Jonnu Smith, the tight end. So that might be an advantage for them. I'm just not sure. It's funny. I'm not sure how good FIU is in various areas. Now, I mean, they looked really good against Central Florida, but look what Central Florida's done since then. So,
well, and hey, this is Jason, by the way, and you're right about FIU's passing game. I mean, how's the progression gone? Alex McGaugh's in his sophomore year, and he's completing last year 50% completion percentage. He's up to 64% this year, and FIU's eighth in the country on third down at a 53% conversion.
Yeah, that's just a matter of being going from freshman to sophomore. That's one thing. They're better on first down, so you're not facing so many third and longs. And just other targets are developing other than Jonnu Smith. I mean, who's a tremendous tight end, but by the end of the year, he was almost getting double and triple teamed. And because teams knew he was the safety blanket for Magoo. As Thomas Owens has developed as a receiver, that's helped out. I mean, Owens is 6'1". He plays a little bigger than that, but he's a broad, thick-built 6'1", so he's a strong guy. Dennis Turner, again, getting downfield, making the defense respect that. Magoo's also learning to take the dump off when he can. He's had some really nice adjustments, throws to running back Alex Gardner and to another tight end, Yakeem Griner. So it's all that experience, it's development of other receivers coming, and just in general, that opens up the offense, as we all know.
Hey, you look at the offensive line for FIU. Coach Holtz talked about the athleticism on that offensive line and how they're not necessarily the biggest guys in the world, but they're very athletic. And you can see that in their stature, their listed sizes of not a single one of them over 300. Now, there's plenty of them knocking on 300's door, just like myself. Maybe I'm a little over 300, or maybe a lot over 300. But you look at those guys, and they're knocking on 300's door, which that's about the size of an offensive lineman.
They really don't have huge linemen. They've got some long arm guys there who can play that and do some pass protecting that way. They're not, I would say, not you know they're not just going to pound you. They can create some creases, and the backs, Alex Gardner is much more. He's more shifty back with some speed. Anton Samuel, more of a little older. He's a little more of a power back, and he doesn't need as much room either. So But they've excelled so far at pass protection. They didn't give up a sack in Central Florida. They had some problems with Indiana, which, you know, that's a mature big boy line there out of the Big Ten. And, you know, NC Central's, you know, they were the FCS whipping boy. They got paid. They came in. FIU rolled over them. So, again, not sure how good they are. I mean, you know, Coach Holtz, of course, is going to say – talk about their athleticism. He's not going to talk about their size. He's not going to say if he thinks this, you know, gee, they're not really very good. We're going to overwhelm them. No coach is ever going to say that.
Isn't it amazing on Monday and Tuesday in college football that every team across America is playing the 85 Bears?
Oh yeah, exactly. They're not playing the 85 Bears. They're playing 72 USC, you know, 85 Oklahoma, and yeah, it really is. And if I hear great one more time, the word great, I would wish they could ban it from all coaches, all players. Nobody can use great again. Nobody can use great for a week. Please, you come up with another term. Oh, they're a great team. No, they're not.
Great is
a 2001 UM. great is 2004 USC. You know, this is, they're a bowl team.
Okay, so let's not use that word.
We will not.
But if we're looking Saturday and we're going to look for some things that are really good. You've kind of got a rock meeting a hard place in Kenneth Dixon, 48 carries on the year, 355 yards, 7.4 yards per carry against the number 20 rush defense in the country, giving up only 96 yards per game on the ground is FIU. How do you see that one playing out? And in these first three games, is FIU, do they sell out against the run, or are they just a really good sound tackling team?
They've gotten better tackling. Their D tackles got tremendous, especially in Central Florida. They got tremendous penetration. NC Central, they think they held them to 209 total yards. They had some sacks. So the rushing numbers, I think, of that game really helped FIU's numbers overall. If you're going to move the ball on FIU on the ground, I think you're going to tend to be, again, like Indiana moved it, but that was a very mature offensive line. I think a bunch of, you know, seniors, redshirt juniors, you know, big boys who played big boy, Big Ten football, you know, pounded at you with Jordan Howard out of UAB, who, you know, we all remember there, you know, running behind them. Dixon, that's an interesting matchup because Dixon's more kind of a, you know, he's got boogie to him, and FIU likes the boogie, so I think it's a kind of a strength on strength matchup. I think it'll depend on FIU's got a couple of D tackles. Darian Dyson, who's out of from down New Orleans,
yeah, in the car.
Right, in the car. And they got Leonard Washington, Marcus Cheeks, another couple guys out of Louisiana, with Marjay Albert out of Miami Northwestern. Those D-tackles and Lars Coot, if you see those guys, if those guys have a big game for FIU, it's going to be a long night for La Tech, I think. Because I think they'll just mess up the run. If they get going, then FIU's linebackers really get going. And a couple of them, Anthony Wendt and Trayvon Williams, again, if you look at the numbers at the end of a half or a quarter, and they've got a lot of tackles, it's a tough night for La Tech. If they don't, and you know, you're looking at Richard Leonard or Jordan Davis, the safety, having some tackles, then obviously it's a, you know, Dixon's going to be running, and La Tech's going to move the ball, and they're going to score a lot of points, and I don't think FIU keeps up.
David, when you look at the depth chart on FIUsports.com, they've got listed a three deep at every D-line position. Is that a legitimate three deep, or some of those guys just listed there to make them look a little scary?
No, they actually play about eight.
Not 12.
What?
So they
not
don't,
12. No. They don't play 12. They rotate in about eight. Yeah. And there's not a lot of drop off to the second unit. So they tend to do that. I mean, it's the, you know, obviously there's some heat and humidity up there in Louisiana too. They you know, they want to do that to keep everybody fresh, and they've got a lot of guys that can, they think can get it done on the field. So that's the weakness in FIU's defense so far this season really has been the safety position, where they had their two guys who weren't returning starters, and the first two opponents attacked them. NC Central tried to, and, you know, they just failed because they're NC Central. But UCF and Indiana had some success there. They're, one of those two safeties, Wilkinson Martial, suffered a concussion last week, very bad concussion. It was very scary for folks down here because he was not moving for a while, and they had to bring the ambulance onto the field. And if you're from this part of the country, you see that, you think Mark Bonacani, who, you know, never you know, was paralyzed after a hit like that. But he just suffered a concussion, but he's out this week. Jordan Davis, who started last year at safety, six games, will be in. He's a little more physical, a little more into run support, so that actually might help FIU's defense. But I think that if La Tech's going to go after any part of the defense, I would think it'd be the safeties.
Is it just like up the seam? Is it crossing routes? What is it that they struggle with the most?
Seam routes, definitely. Seam routes, play action, and they've gotten nailed on some good crosses too. UCF Aikens, they ate them up, and Indiana had some success more with the seam stuff, and I think it's all going to start if Dixon can run the ball. If they can run the ball with Dixon, if that running game doesn't work, then you know, they might get guys open, and they might not have time to hit them because FIU does rush the passer pretty well.
So I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and give me a prediction, a score prediction for Saturday.
Ooh, a little early in the week for that.
We do it every Tuesday. We're never even close, except for we worked pretty close last week.
Yeah, I took La Tech when I did this for the game by game for the preseason section. I took La Tech pretty solidly. FIU's offense has been better than I thought it would be. Yeah, oh boy. I'll still stay with La Tech, but I'm going to go with 31-24, maybe. 31-24,
31-27. Vegas has it as a 14-point line, so you think,
yeah,
you think FIU
I think,
covers?
I think that's as fat as Jabba the Hutt. I would, no. If I was in Vegas and you forced me to bet the game, I'd take FIU with that line. But I think that line is very, very fat. But, you know, if I like to gamble, but if I were in the sports book, I would stay away from this game.
Too many unknowns.
Yeah, just exactly. It's very, very, don't know. Just a lot of don't knows.
I hear you. Well, Dave, appreciate you joining us. We'll get you probably for during basketball season to join us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Oh, thank you very much. Y'all have a good evening.
Thanks, David. David Neal from the Miami Herald joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Good stuff from David. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, also title sponsor of Trenton Interiors and also sponsored by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen in Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give them a call, 318-255-7698 for anything to do with the inside of your house and making it look good. That's what they're in the business to do. Jason Jones does the brick. They do the inside.
There you go. And you'll be able to go into their showroom pretty soon and see a Ruston brick fireplace in there. Let's check it out.
There you go. Jason, the game Saturday, I was actually kind of surprised by David that he thinks it'll be close, because I think of the old FIU.
Well, and you're not expecting Tech to score a ton of points, but Tech's offense has really just taken a step forward this year. And as good as FIU's defense is, I think Tech, he mentioned the safeties, you know, being a question mark. I really think Tech's going to score on them. Maybe not.
Think about Trent Taylor against safeties that aren't very good.
Yeah, I mean, Tech's going to be able to pass. That's going to open up Dixon a little bit. I mean, I just feel like FIU cannot score enough to keep up with Tech. I think 14 is a good line, and I think Tech can cover it. I really do.
I'm with you there. I think that Tech has proven themselves offensively, and then you look at what FIU has been able to do offensively, and it's not been impressive. At Central Florida, who lost to Furman last week, they scored a whole 15 points in four quarters of action. Against Indiana, they scored 22. And NC Central and FCS out of the MEAC scored 39.
Yeah.
I mean, Tech scored 39, didn't they, in the first quarter against Southern?
It felt like it. I mean, they were
40-something.
Yeah, they were on pace for 100 for a long time.
So you look at offensively, and yes, the strength of FIU is their defense. Their defensive line's very athletic. I mean, that's kind of the theme around Florida teams, as I mentioned earlier. The DNs will be good. I don't think the D tackles will be as good as what Tech saw last week, and they were able to run the ball last week. I was surprised looking over the depth chart at the size of the FIU linebackers. Anthony Went at 6 foot two, 225, Trayvon Williams at 6 foot 230, and then there's the smaller one, Vontarius West, at 6 foot 203. That's a good size linebackers.
Yeah, but I've seen the middle linebacker listed elsewhere at 5'10", so how tall is he really? I mean, he might just be a little fire hydrant in there, but I mean, he is good against the run.
Remember Adrian Cole?
Adrian Cole for Tech. Hey.
Fire hydrant.
That game against New Mexico State and Ruston, one of his last games as a Bulldog, hit like 20-something tackles. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
This is a nice segue into middle linebacker. I don't know that I've ever seen a middle linebacker play as well as Nick Thomason did Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he was shooting the gap.
He was playing at the top of his game, and I mean, that one tackle he made it towards the end of the game for a loss, I mean, it was unbelievable. He just blew through there, like you said. He shot the gap, and nobody got their hands on him.
If Tech's defense plays like they did, I don't think the secondary played real well in the first quarter, but they got their sea legs about him and played a whole lot better. If they play like they did against K-State, they'll be fine. I have a couple of stories on BleedTechBlue.com that I've written. One about Coach Holtz's familiarity with the FIU offensive coordinator, who was Holtz's offensive coordinator at Florida and East Carolina.
He was the offensive line coach, I think.
Wasn't?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, he was with Coach Holtz for 8 years, and I think that's going to even – As average as their offense has been this year, I mean, Coach Holtz is familiar with him, so I think that's just another advantage for Tech.
And then another one about Tech simplifying their scheme of Saturday against K-State and how it allowed Tech to play fast. And then one more on redshirt sophomore inside receiver Cam McKnight, who's, I think, having a little bit of a coming out party as a Bulldog in the first three games. You go check those out on BleedTechBlue.com. But you talk about David Neal from the Miami Herald was saying that the weakness of the FIU defense is their safeties. Well, you put Cam McKnight at 6'3", 230, and then Trent Taylor, who, in my opinion, probably runs the best routes in America. Who do you choose? Yeah, out of that group to cover him. Mean, of course, when you got a guy that's like Jeremiah McKinnon, or not Jeremiah McKinnon, sorry, Vontarius West, the linebacker at 6'2", 203, he's going to be their cover linebacker. Kind of their Sam linebacker like Tech has with C.J. Cleveland or Lloyd Grogan.
They're going to be expecting Dixon, and I feel like Tech's going to come out and just pass all over them. And then who knows, the next week, Coach Holtz mentioned he's got his big guys kind of healthy now, Gaston, Ricky Jones, Marlon Cease is back. You know, against ULL, you might see him switch gears and pound the ball 100 times. So, I mean, Tech's versatile enough. Good running game, passing game. You can go big. You can go fast. Holtz can change his game plan week to week, and he's got the players to do it. Very similar to what Rafe said when he called in. Hey, switch gears. Talked about Bleed Tech Blue. Check out the website. got a basketball commitment recently we've talked about, and you had an article about...
Well, this is the segment that I wanted to talk about recruiting, isn't it?
Yeah, I was trying to not call you out. I was trying to subtly...
I broke off my own outline. I'm sorry.
You had an article about the hot board and some guys that Tech's looking at, and even if you're not a member of Bleed Tech Blue, you need to go sign up for the free trial so you can read the article, but you can also search on the database and look at teams that Tech's offered or players that Tech's has offered.
In basketball.
There's like 18 offers out, a lot of 6'8 power forwards. I think they might have a target that they need a 6'8 power forward, if I had to just make a wild guess.
It's not hard in football or basketball recruiting to see what a staff thinks is their needs by looking at the number of offers to positions. There's even a local one.
Yes.
In Campy at Lakeview. I think that's Lakeview.
But... yeah, Lakeview out of Campy. Yeah, if you're ever going to Natchitoches, you drive right by there. And
if you go straight in equipment and don't go through...
Well, even if you go through Winfield, you're going by Campy. You don't go through it, but you're going... there's a sign that says Campy right there. Turn right. But yeah, Adrio Bailey, 6'7", 210, has several offers, and a lot of them are in the conference, Charlotte and Old Dominion at least, and then also Wichita State and... Montana, so some pretty good mid-major programs, and then Stephen F. Austin, who's in, you know, Stephen F. Austin, Wichita State are two that have made a lot of noise in the NCAA tournament recently.
And then you mentioned the commitment. Tech got a commitment from Jalen Harris out of Duncanville, Texas, a 6'5", 185-pound point guard.
It's pretty big.
They're looking for those long point guards all over again.
Yeah, it's similar to Alex Hamilton. So,
and he had offers from UTEP, North Texas, UT Arlington, Incarnate Word, Furman, Illinois State, Tulsa, Duquesne, Texas State, Utah State. So there are lots of preeminent mid-major powers like UTEP and Duquesne and Utah State there. That's pretty salty.
Yeah, and then you've got a couple of 6'8 forwards out of the Dallas area they're looking at, so you can tell the staff is definitely going to be over in the Dallas area more, whereas the previous staff recruited more towards Florida. Now, Michael Kaiser was from Lancaster, the Dallas area, but that was he, you know, signed 4 years ago.
And a necessity for some length.
Yeah, and so they're definitely hitting Dallas harder. You got a couple of 6'8 forwards, Oliver Powell, from Rowlett, where Cedric Johnson, the football player, is from. He's got offers from Chattanooga, Kansas State, Rice, SMU, Texas Arlington, Illinois, Chicago. So pretty good company there. And then Adrian Johnson, 6'8", 210, from Red Oak. Colorado offer, Middle Tennessee, Texas State, Tulsa. So again, some pretty good offers. You got to think Tech's going to try to get one of those guys in here. And then they've another, just keeping that that whole 6'8" theme going. There's another one, Kevin Morris out of Alabama, I think. It's Dothan, Alabama.
It's definitely fair to say that they're looking for a 6'8" power forward.
And he's got offers from Miami of Ohio, Middle Tennessee, Rice, Samford, Troy. So
who's who of the mid-majors.
Yeah, some of the same schools, you know. And so when it comes down to that, then you're definitely just talking relationships and fit. And so I feel like Tech's on the right track. But getting the commitment from Harris.
It's a good start.
Duncanville right there, you know, close to Arlington.
His parents both played at SMU as basketball players, so that's in his pedigree.
He had really good offers, too. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast, Utah State are two of the best mid-majors in the country. Tulsa and UTEP have a lot of history, and they're both in the area, you know, if you're a Dallas kid.
So it's a really good get for that,
really,
for that staff.
Really good get to get in this early, too.
And then the football team, of course, is going to have a recruiting of visitors in this weekend for FIU. Two, for sure, Keldrick Carper out of Plain Dealing, a 2017 four-star, making his second trip. He visited for the Southern game. And then Tech commitment defensive end from Starkville, Mississippi, Lorenzo Dantzler, will also be in.
Yeah, and just getting Keldrick in here for visits, being that young, I mean, that's really good. Just, you want to have those four-star kids come around your program a lot. And just the fact that he's visiting so much is a really good sign.
Jason, let's touch on the biggest positions of need to finish out the class. We've already read through the commitment several times on this program. There's no need to do it again. But what positions of need do you see for Louisiana Tech sitting at 16 commitments? Correct, 16. I think they're sitting at 16.
I think it's 16. Wide receiver, and then maybe some wide receiver.
You want a wide receiver, do you?
Well, there's none. There's none committed. You've got Paul Turner as a senior. Trent Taylor's a junior. And, yes, you do have some talented young guys, redshirt freshmen, a couple of sophomores getting some playing time. So
you go to Gerard Sanders, of course, Glenel Sanders' son. That's probably got to be number one on your list.
Yeah, and then number two, you go down towards Zachary, you know, in South Louisiana. And there's other receivers Tech's offered, but there's two that are really good, and I feel like that's got to be the point of emphasis.
I hadn't seen that. Had you seen that name yet? I was looking through the offer list for Louisiana Tech at wide receiver, and Devontae Say, I think that's how you say it, or is it C? I never know how to say it.
I don't know, but it's
Sanford C. Yeah, got to be his brother. He's from Georgia as well. Westover School in Albany, Georgia. Tech offer 5'11", 165, probably an inside receiver, but that's pretty ironic.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I mean, Tech, I think, looked at Tevin King's brother at one point a couple years ago.
He ended up at Kentucky.
And then Timo, in your forums, brought up Hunter Lee's little brother, who's, I think, a sophomore.
Yeah, he's playing linebacker at Flower Mound High School in Texas. Made some press clippings for Defensive Player of the Week for Flower Mound. Already 6'195", dare I say, bigger than Hunter already. And if Hunter's listening, he knows that I would say that to his face.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's proud of his brother, too. So he'll be the first one to tout him in all the recruiting
circles. In a game, he had 20 total tackles, one for a loss, one pass breakup, and a blocked PAT to win the game.
Yeah, football's definitely in their blood, I would guess.
That's a name to watch.
Oh, no doubt. And
because if anybody who didn't go after Hunter and saw what he did in college is probably kicking themselves.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And you know, he's a 2018. Is that right?
Was he 2018? I think he's a sophomore, so yeah, that would be 2018. So, yeah, he's got a couple more years. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap it up and give our predictions for Louisiana Tech FIU. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and also by National Jewelry and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Call them today, 318-255-7698 for all your interior designing needs. Been a good show here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're going to wrap it up in this segment, making way for the Broderick Fobbs show, the coaches show for Grambling State University. I think they'll go back to a regularly scheduled Monday after Skip Holt's show next week. Jason, Louisiana Tech, of course, facing FIU in the redout Saturday at 1:30 inside Joe IA Stadium. We're going to start with attendance predictions. Of course, it was a 28,000 attendance for Southern.
And then what was the estimates on the crowd they brought? 4,000, 5,000, 6,000?
I heard upwards of 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was 5 or 6. I couldn't remember.
Upwards of 8. So I'm sticking with the 20,000 that I said, and I think that might be a little generous.
I'm going 22. I think Tech's going to come out.
The 1:30 kickoff helps.
Students have been coming out really good the last couple of years, and I And I just think you no longer are you seeing games where if they haven't heard of the team that you're going to see 14,000-15,000 in the stands. I think 20 is almost the bottom now. Maybe you'll see 18,000-19,000 if Tech's having a bad year and it's a no-name team. But I think 20 is the minimum now. Because Tech, I mean, under Coach Holtz last year and this year, Tech's been playing really well. And that's what brings fans is winning.
1:30 kickoff. Got to get out there early to get your tailgating on. My wife makes fun of me that I make it an all-day affair. The kickoff may be at 6 o'clock, but I'm going to be there all day. So it won't be as bad this week with it being a 1:30 kickoff. You don't make it an all-day affair, but you got a few rugrats at the house to it's like herding cats, right?
Yeah, I mean, we compromise. We don't get there just an hour before kickoff, but we don't get there all day either. So I think for the Southern game, we got there about 3 hours before kickoff.
That's
so
good.
You know, it's more shameless plug. Check out the Rust and Brick Kids Zone. You know, let them play a little bit, tailgate a little bit.
On the hill of the Tack.
Yeah.
On the flat area, it's perfect. That's one thing at Louisiana Tech for tailgating that I don't think a lot of people who have just started coming to Tech games and getting into it realize how much it's changed over the last 5 years.
Oh yeah,
it's completely different.
And then thinking back to the dark ages, you know, 15 years ago. And it's unbelievable. I mean, you could park.
There was no one tailgating.
No one was tailgating. You know, you could pull up 45 minutes before kickoff and find somewhere to park.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah. And a lot of times, you know, when I lived out of town and I would drive in, I'd go park at the Intramural Center and just walk across the street. I mean, it was no big deal. You could get there plenty of time.
That's almost impossible.
That was back when I sat on the east side, and well, that was pre-apartments too, so the parking lot wasn't quite as crowded over there. But yeah, now I mean, tailgating is it. I mean,
they don't let you turn onto Bulldog Drive unless you've got a parking permit.
Exactly.
So if you don't have a permit, don't try to turn down that road, because they're not going to let you turn. Try parking on campus. I know the BCM is doing pay for parking now.
Oh wow,
that's a good fundraiser.
Yeah, that's really good. And you know, it's funny when
you think about it, that's not that close. But whenever you and I, if we go as a media member to an SEC school, how far is the walk?
Or a lot of schools. I went to Southern Miss, took my family to the game last year when
Tech
played.
Really long walk.
I parked at some church really far away from campus. And then, yeah, I mean, I've gone to games, you know, when Tech played at LSU, in Little Rock against Arkansas, at Auburn. And you're paying to park in some private lot, or in Little Rock, you park at the hospital and walk through the sticks. I mean, and people are out there tailgating all day. LSU puts you in some lot a million miles from campus.
Auburn was that way. I remember that
Auburn,
vividly.
I parked in an oil change place, had to pay like $10, and I'm a mile away, you know. You know, the businesses shut down and they rent out their parking lot, you know, for parking, and that's how they make their money. And Tech fans, you know, we have it bad. We think if we had to park at the BCM, which is probably not even a mile away. I mean, what is it, half a mile? And that's supposed to be a long way. You see, but now, I see people. I come down Grambling Highway 150 from my house, and I see people. Used to, you might see a few people parked at the Tack or up on the curb. They're back, you know, back towards the Texaco now, all the way down each side of the road. So,
and then Southern was a different story, because they were. I meant to go to campus to witness this, but there were Southern fans tailgating on campus in the quad.
Oh wow,
that's pretty awesome. They had RVs lining railroad drive, whatever it is, on Tech campus all the way to the Wesley Foundation. So
goodness gracious.
So that puts into perspective how many Southern fans there were. And some of them didn't even make it into the game because they knew the game was on TV. So let's just catch it on satellite and keep partying.
Nice.
Why not?
And I've noticed a lot of students tailgating down in Hideaway Park too. I think that's a nice touch.
I wish that they were more visible, but
I understand why they did it, because it's honestly they may have the best tailgating spot than out of anybody else.
Yeah, and it's not very far at all from the stadium.
And it's cool.
You're in the shade, so it's a really nice spot. And so I think in future years you'll see more people take advantage of that.
Here's a question on the Bleed Tech Blue message board. Does Frazier Hogan have a greater role going forward? Jason, I think Frazier Hogan's is probably one of the unsung heroes of this defense right now, and special teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the leaders on special teams. We talked about FIU's middle linebacker might be built like a fire hydrant. Frazier definitely is built like a fire hydrant. He's as wide as he is tall, but he's just tough.
And he plays with reckless abandonment.
And he's having fun out there. He's like one of those guys that just loves pain or something. He's just out there having fun the whole time. And maybe he had to be a little bit crazy, but he's fun to watch. He really is. And hopefully you will see more of him on a regular basis on the defense, because on special teams, he's really fun to watch.
Before we get to the predictions, one last thing, another comment, and I saw some other comments about this. There was a K-State wide receiver that commented about Tech looking tired late in the game. I would venture to say that he's commenting about the corners, because Tech doesn't have a lot of corners to rotate.
And Ephraim Kitchen didn't even make the trip.
I think he's got an injury. So Trey Spencer played some. Roland Dunn played. Bryson Abraham and Adarius Barnes. There's your four corners.
Yeah, and Barnes and Abraham are going to play the majority of the
snaps. I would imagine they played 75 to 80% of the snaps. Yeah. If they look tired, that's why.
Yeah.
And that's what a wide receiver is going to see, the corner being tired, more than they're going to see anything else.
Yeah, the defensive line definitely wasn't tired. Nick Thomason definitely wasn't tired. I mean, he played so well the whole game.
Taylor wasn't tired.
He was
probably tired of getting pushed to the ground.
Yeah, and you know, in the second half, I noticed a lot of times the defensive line would roll out with the second string at the beginning of the possession for Kansas State. And two different times late in the game, I noticed they would go out there and hold them for the first two downs. Then it's a big third down, and Tech's able to trot out Dora and Butler and the starters, and they were able to get the stop on third down and force the punt. So it was a pretty good strategy there to wait and bring the starters in on third down. He was giving them a break, and it kept them fresh the whole game.
So let's go into the predictions. John, you're going to be called upon, so you don't always go first, but I'm going to let you go first this time. Line from Vegas of 14.5 and an over-under of, I believe it was in the 50s, 52. We'll call it 52.
I'm taking Tech 34, FIU 13.
You're right on with our friends at MasseyRatings.com. They are at 35-17.
I'm going a little bit lower. I mean,
we really do need to start writing these down to see how close we are, because I certainly don't remember what I say every week.
I'm going a little bit lower. It's two good defenses that are going to come to play on Saturday. I'm going 31-13, Tech.
I'm going 35-21, sticking right at the line. Vegas is pretty good at that. I mean, what was the K-State line?
10.
10, and it opened at 7, and it ended up being 6.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, to be fair, it was 0 because it was tied at the end of regulation.
But the final outcome was 6.
Yeah.
Which is part, that's what the line is. For John Tabor, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and my co-host, Jason Jones. We are the Twin Towers of Radio here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30. Make sure you check out BleedTechBlue.com and a 7-day free trial. You won't be disappointed. This was Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. We'll be back same time next week. See you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.